Thank you, Anita. Welcome, everyone. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together to give you glory and honor and praise. And so, Lord, as we come, we ask that you would meet us in this place, that you would speak to us. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me and give me the words to speak, and that you would speak into all of our hearts the truth of your word, Lord, that it would be life-giving and life-changing, that it would change us to be more like you, to want to know you and love you more, to want to seek you more. So, Lord, we ask that you work here in this place. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They say that those who do not know the past are doomed to repeat it. Well, at least that's what my history teachers and professors used to say to me. And I always thought they were saying it just to get us to take history seriously. I mean, of all the subjects in the school, history seems like the one subject that mattered the least to me. It's all happened already. It's in the past. Nothing we can do will change what has happened. So for all the times my teacher said, those who do not know the past are doomed to repeat it, I never really took them very seriously. But maybe I should have. If COVID taught me anything, it taught me that something similar happened with the Spanish flu in 1918. And that if we knew our history about what happened then, maybe we wouldn't have been so caught off guard when we got struck with COVID. Maybe we would have been better prepared. Maybe we would have realized that back then people wore masks trying to protect themselves. Maybe we would have realized how that the pandemic ended back then as well. Similar things happened during the Spanish flu. But because I didn't know my history, I didn't know any of this. I'm guessing I'm not the only one who didn't know. So then maybe my history teachers knew what they were talking about when they said, those who don't know the past are doomed to repeat it. And maybe if we paid a little bit more attention to what the Bible says and knew our biblical history, maybe we could avoid some of the hardships of this life. See, the book of Judges is all about how Israel, God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, will continue to incur the wrath of God because they refuse to learn from their past. As Judges begins, Moses is already dead. Moses, who led the Israelites out of Egypt, has passed away. He's not allowed to enter the promised land because if you remember, Moses, while he led them out of Egypt, screwed up in the desert. And so because of that, God didn't allow him into the promised land. And so in Numbers 20, the Israelites complained about not having water to drink in the desert. And instead of thanking God for saving them from slavery, they're complaining. They're complaining about the fact that God brought them out of Egypt into a desert, out of slavery, to be free people, but because they're in a desert, they're complaining. So Numbers 20, verses 7 and 8, Moses said to the Lord, it says, the Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. That's what God told Moses to do. But Moses didn't quite do as he was told. If we read verse 10 and 11, it says, he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. God told him to speak to the rock, but instead Moses goes and strikes the rock twice with his staff. And not only that, Moses takes credit for the water. Must we bring you water out of this rock? And because of that, we're told in verse 12, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give you. So instead of Moses leading the Israelites into the promised land, it's Joshua and Caleb who led the Israelites into the promised land. And that's where Judges is. They've just entered the promised land. And as we begin chapter 2, Joshua had led the Israelites in. and sent the people away to their parts of the land. That's why verse 6 says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. Can life get any better? They're in the promised land. They've got their land. They each go off into their own inheritance. They've got their own chunk of land. And we're told that under Joshua, the Israelites obeyed the Lord and things were good. Verse 7 says, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Things are good. They're in the land that God promised them. They're no longer wandering in the desert. They're no longer slaves in Egypt. They have their own land. Or at least it seems like things are good. But then Joshua and his generation die. And the problems start. At least that's how it seems. Verse 10 and 11 says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. So Joshua, Caleb, and that generation led them into the promised land. Everything is good. But then when Joshua and Caleb and that generation pass away, and the younger generation has to take over, we're told that the younger generation know nothing about God. They know nothing about God. They know nothing about what God has done for them, bringing them out of Egypt, out of slavery, how God took care of them and provided for them in the desert for 40 years. And so when these younger Israelites take over, the younger generation starts serving the fertility god of the Canaanites, Baal. This upsets the Lord, and the Israelites suffer. Verse 14 tells us, in his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. See, when God was happy with them, things went well. They enter into this promised land. Remember, if you remember back, it was a land full of giants. They enter into the promised land. But when they forget about God and they start worshiping Baal, God turns his back on them as well, and they suffer. Raiders come in and take over their land. When God's favor is on them, things would go well. They would defeat their enemies. But when God's favor is gone, they would suffer, being taken over by raiders. But God, being a merciful God, in his mercy doesn't let the Israelites just suffer. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking I'd let them suffer a little longer. But God, being a merciful God, doesn't let them suffer long. And verse 16 tells us, then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. So the Lord would have pity on them, and he would send them judges. He would send them people to save them from the raiders, to come in, save them from the raiders, and God's blessing would be upon them again. But it wouldn't be long before they turn their backs on the Lord and sin against the Lord and go back to worshiping the gods of the land. And verse 18 tells us, whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies, as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. The Lord would have mercy when they cried out. But then verse 19 tells us what happens next. But when the judge died, the people returned to their ways, or to return to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. See, this is the cycle that occurs throughout Judges. The Israelites sin and turn away from the Lord. God gets angry and lets them suffer at the hands of their enemies. And then when they cry out, God, where are you? God in his mercy would send a judge to save them. You would think that they would learn from that. You go through that cycle once, And you'd think, well, maybe we should break this cycle. But they don't. And Judges is full of the cycle repeating over and over and over again. They turn away from God. They forget about God. They forget about what he has done. And God, in his anger, sends their enemies to punish them. And then when they cry out to God, God, in his grace and his mercy, sends a judge to save them. But then it's not long when they go through this all over again. On the surface, it seems like the problem is the younger generation. It seems like everything was fine under the older generation. The problems seem to start when the younger generation take over. That's basically what verse 10 said. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, and another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. It sure sounds like it's the fault of the younger generation. Maybe that's why so many older people don't want the younger people to take over. They've read this and they're like, oh, young people, no good. We got to stay in charge. Young people don't know what they're doing. We got to teach them. We'll show them. Maybe that's why so many of the older generation are afraid to turn things over to the younger generation. We see what happened with the Israelites when the younger generation took over. It looks like the problem starts with the younger generation when they take over, that it's the younger generation's fault. But I'm going to say it wasn't. It's not the younger generation's fault. They are the result of what the older generation did. Bear with me. The problem started long before the younger generation took over. The problem started while the older generation were actually in charge. The problem started because the older generation didn't listen to or obey the Lord. Because if we go back to Deuteronomy 6, you'll see what I mean. In Deuteronomy 6, the Israelites haven't entered the promised land yet. They're about to. They're on the verge of entering the promised land, and so before they do, the Lord spoke to them and told them what to do. And in verses 4 and 5, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Hopefully most of us know this. Hopefully we've heard this. It's what we call the Great Command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's what the Israelites called the Shema. They still call it the Shema. It's their Great Command. And it's called the Shema because that's the first word of verse 4 in Hebrew, the word that's translated here. But the word means more than just hear in Hebrew. It means to allow the words to sink in, to provide understanding and to respond. Because it means to act to it. Because in Hebrew, hearing and doing are interconnected. The Israelites were to take action with these words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. They're supposed to take action with these words. And verses 6 to 9 tell us what the actions they're supposed to take are. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So the first thing they're supposed to do is to hear. Let it penetrate. Let it soak into their lives. Let it be in their hearts. They need to know it and live it. And that living is not only are they to love God, but they're supposed to teach their children. They're supposed to impress upon their children. It's supposed to live in their hearts, and they're supposed to pass it on to their children's hearts. And the Lord even told them how they were supposed to do it. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you sit down and when you get up. Keep telling your children about it. Repeat it over and over and over again until it's imprinted on their hearts. See, this is where the older generation failed. It seems they got the first part right. It seems they had it on their hearts because they followed God. They obeyed. They were faithful to the Lord until they died. So as far as we know, they got the first part right. It was on their hearts. The problem was the second part. They didn't impress it on their children. They didn't talk about the Lord and what the Lord had done for them. How the Lord had brought them out of slavery from Egypt. They didn't talk about it when they sat at home. They didn't talk about it when they walked along the road, or when they laid down, or when they got up. That's why when the older generation died and the younger took over, they know nothing about the Lord and what he had done for them. And because they didn't know, they turned their backs on the Lord and start worshiping the idols of the land. Yes, the younger generation failed, but that failure started with the older generation when they didn't obey the Lord's command and teach the younger generation. But that wasn't the end of their failure. In fact, their failure continued over and over and over again. As that younger generation becomes the older generation, the once younger generation, who's now the older generation, doesn't pass on to their younger generation. And so the cycle continues. And that's what the book of Judges is about. How the Israelites continue through the cycle of turning away from the Lord, not obeying the Lord, of being punished, of God having mercy on them and sending judges to save them, and then them failing again and repeating the cycle. Of how that younger generation screws up, but then when they get older, they screw up again because they don't pass it on to the younger generation. This Judges is a story of how those who did not know the past were doomed to repeat it. Because the Israelites who knew the Lord didn't pass it on to those who didn't. And then when those who didn't grew up and took over, they screwed up and messed things up until God stepped in again and fixed everything for them. And then that generation who had seen God at work firsthand through the life of a judge and through the work of a judge, then they screwed up by not passing on to the next generation, by not teaching them and impressing upon their hearts to love the Lord their God with all their hearts, with all their souls, with all their minds and all their strengths. It's a story of a nation who didn't know their identity because they didn't know their Lord. See, they were the Lord's chosen people. But because they continued fail in teaching their next generation about who the Lord is and the fact that they were the Lord's chosen people, because they didn't know their past, nor did they learn from their past mistakes, they keep repeating the cycle over and over and over again. Perhaps the saying should be, those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. The Israelites kept losing pretty much every other generation because they weren't learning from their past. So when the older generation died, that younger generation went astray and messed everything up. When they messed up and they prayed out to God, God would save them. But then the next generation would screw up again. And they were basically wasting away every other generation because they weren't learning from their past. It's easy to sit here and think, and I want to sit here and think, wow, I can't believe how stupid these Israelites were. You would think after making the same mistake over and over and over again, they would smarten up and learn from it. But are we really any different? Am I really any different? We repeat our same sins over and over and over again. And then we cry out for God, help us. We run to God after we sin in prayer saying, God, forgive me. And when things go well, we forget about God until we get into trouble again. And then we go back to God and say, God, forgive me. Are we really any different from the Israelites? I think about our church history, and I look over our church history and what I know of it. And I wonder, are we really any different? Have we learned from our mistakes of the past? Have we learned from our failures? Or are we willing to sacrifice another generation because we're too proud to admit our mistakes? Are we willing to go through another cycle as this, we've gone through many cycles before? That's why this year the pastors came up with the theme of rediscovering Lord's grace. It's a play on words, obviously, with our church name being Lord's Grace and all. But with what's happened over the past 42 years, I think it's obvious we've seen God's hand at work. We've seen the Lord's grace in this church and in our own lives. But over the course of the past couple of years, I think a lot of us have forgotten about the Lord's grace. We've forgotten how much grace God has shined down upon us individually and as a church. And in turn, we've forgotten to extend God's grace to one another. So the pastors felt it was important for us as a church to rediscover Lord's grace. For us individually to remember God, what God's grace in our lives has been like. The ways that God has been gracious and merciful to us during our Christian journey. Especially in those times when we've turned our backs on Jesus and walked away from our faith. But we also felt it was important for us as a church to rediscover Lord's grace, meaning we as a church need to rediscover who we are, who we're called to be in this world. We need to rediscover and remind ourselves that we are God's children. We are His ambassadors in this world. And we need to figure out and remind ourselves what our mission is as Lord's Grace here in Kitsilano. What our vision is as Lord's Grace here in Kitsilano. See, the Israelites lost their identity. They forgot who they were. They forgot that they were God's people, chosen people, saved by God from the Egyptians, delivered by God into the promised land. They forgot to teach their children what all of that meant. And they paid for it with that lost generation. And then they kept paying for it because they kept forgetting. The generation after Joshua didn't know anything of what God had done for them. And they forgot about God and they turned their backs on God. And because the cycle kept repeating, because they didn't learn from their past, they kept sacrificing generations of their children. As Lord's Grace, we need to learn from our past. We need to learn from the mistakes that we've made. Instead of hiding and covering it up and pretending nothing has happened, we need to have some difficult conversations with each other. We need to uncover some of the hurts and the pains that have happened and discuss them so that we can learn from our past and move on instead of sacrificing a generation. Because those who do not learn from our past, we're doomed to repeat it. Christian scholar says about the book of Judges, when people lose sight of God's grace, they lose sight of God and the sense of any obligation to Him. And all that follows in the book of Judges is a consequence of Israel's loss of memory. The repeated cycles in Judges is a consequence of Israel losing sight of God's grace, of forgetting that they were God's chosen people and of what God had done for them. And when we as a church lose sight of God's grace, we seem to go through our own cycles. We as a church and as individuals need to remember the Lord's grace in our lives. Remember that we've been called to be His church here in Vancouver, in Kitts. And we need to rediscover or figure out what our identity is, what our mission is, what our vision is. Are we just going to be a Chinese church? Are we going to be a neighborhood church? Are we going to be a church that only hangs out with ourselves all the time, eating with ourselves? Are we going to be Christ's witnesses in this world? I want you to join in with EMT, with the deacon board, with the pastors, with the church in this visioning process. Join in this journey. As you do your quiet times, pray about it. What is God calling us to be as a church here in Kitsilano? What is God calling us to be as the English con of Lord's Grace? What does that mean? Maybe that means having some difficult conversations with some of the other congregations or with some other people. But instead of repeating the cycle and not learning from our mistakes, I hope and I pray that we can actually learn from our mistakes and break this cycle. I hope and pray that we can learn from our past. And instead of burying it and hoping it all goes away, that as the body of Christ, we can learn from our past, struggle through some of the things, wrestle with some of the things, maybe even fight over some of the things that have happened. But come out on the other side of it, praising God, because we are still the body of Christ together. I hope over the course of this year, we will all be challenged to rediscover Lord's grace in our lives individually, but also in our life as the church. What does it mean to be Lord's Grace Church? Let us pray. Lord, help us. Help us to learn from our mistakes. Help us to learn from our past, so that we don't continue the cycle like the Israelites did. So we don't continue to do the things that upset you and pull us away from you, and then come back saying, I'm sorry, to have you lavish your grace upon us and then have us to go through that cycle all over again. Lord, help us learn from our past and to figure out our future with you, what it means to be Lord's grace, what it means to be your children, what it means to have your grace in our lives. So Lord, would you speak to us? Would you impart upon us, impress on our hearts how to love you, how to love one another, how to love your creation, your lost, how to be like you, to be your hands and feet in this world. Lord, would you help us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.